But we're in the series where we're talking about God building something. He's building something inside of us that is going to be unstoppable if we let him. He wants to make us into the image of his son. And he says, I have a plan and I have a purpose for you. And I've laid this out before you even existed or set foot on this earth. I knew you were coming, and here's what I want to reveal to you. I want to reveal to you that my son is your savior, but then after you accept my son as your savior, I want to make you into his image, and I want to use you for glory in this world. And one thing that we've been talking about and comparing this to is the building of a house. And we talked about the foundation. Foundation takes a lot of work. You got to dig down deep and to get to some good soil. And then once you get the good soil, you got to pour this ugly concrete slurry. And then it goes in these forms. It's tons of work. And for us, for those of you that have accepted Christ, what that is, that's Christ. Christ is the foundation. And then we talked kind of about the framing, and we spent a lot of time talking about the framing, that our life is framed a certain way. Sometimes we get the truth of God right, and we built that in the house of us. But sometimes we bring things from the world or our own desires into it, and it gets a little kittywampus. I don't know why that word came out. That was a word that from my building careers, I guess. That means off-centered, out of whack. And then God says, I want to remodel you. I want to do this in you. And then we kind of took an adventure on the inside of us last week, where we're talking about that God says that our heart matters to him. And our heart from within in us flows the wellspring of life. And therefore, we need to guard that heart, that we don't let things of this world impact us and who our heart is. But we put Christ at the center of it. We put God's word at the center of it. And we let everything flow out from there. But God says, you don't have to do it on your own. I'm going to put my Holy Spirit in you. And my spirit is going to do the work. And all you have to do is surrender. All you have to do is follow me. And he says, and I want to do this. I'm not going to stop building, by the way, because I am a master builder, and I know how to make you into the image of my son. Well, now that we kind of looked at the house, we have a house of us, I want to talk about something that's bigger. Yeah, God's got a plan and a purpose for you, and he's going to work that out. But there's something bigger that he's doing. You are part of a house. Not just the house of the little you, but the house of God. And God wants to use each one of our houses in his house in a way that he wants to change the world. And he welcomes us in, and he says, I want you to take up residence in my house, which is the church. Sometimes I think maybe we should stop calling it the church, and we should actually call it the house of God, because that's what he's building. Because when you think of a home, what makes it a home? I mean, you can build a house, can't you? You can go down all these developments, and you can see a house after house after house after house. But if there's nobody living in them, they're just a bunch of sticks, a bunch of plaster, a bunch of lights. There's nothing. It's not a home, is it? It's when somebody all of a sudden moves into the house that it becomes a home. And a very beautiful thing happens. It becomes a place where you take rest, where you take shelter, where you get recharged. And that's what God says. My house is this place where I want you to come, and I want you to take shelter. I want you to hear my word. I want you to get inspired. And I don't want you just to stay in the house, though, because we like to stay in the house too much. He says, I want you to get outside the house. I want you to come here, get recharged, get refocused. But I've designed you in such a way that I want to use the house of you, the temple of you, to go out and bring the glory of God to the world. Maybe you didn't know, but the glory of God actually resides in his house, and it resides in you. But primarily, it resides here. He says, I want to use my church. I want to build it into something better. So basically, what we need to start to become as a church is the house of God, a family. You know, when I was in Africa, one of the things, and I shared it with some of you, you may know the story, but one of the things that I saw is that there's a genuine family. There was genuine community going on. People cared for one another. We had this little boy that Jake sponsored, and Jake brought him some trucks and some cars and all these different toys, and his name was Frank, and we kind of lured Frank in. I shouldn't say it that way. But we had Frank come in. We had him come into the house. Sorry, the filters are kind of missing. We're coming into the house. And we had set these toys out, and he opens them up, and he lays them all out. I mean, it was kind of neat to watch him, and my boys were sitting there watching, lays them all out. And you're kind of doing this type of thing, looking at them all, and he picks one. And then he's got a big grin on his face, and he turns around and he goes out and grabs every one of his friends and gives all those cards to his friends. That was community. That was the family of God working right there. And the church that God is trying to develop here in this body is a family where we're caring for one another, where we're becoming the house of God, where we're seeing people sharing each other's burdens, where we're bearing with one another when we have differences, where we're loving one another. God says, I'm building this and you can't stop it. I want to do something new in the church, and it's important that you and I get this, that he's building this. And he came into this world as a human form, Jesus Christ, as a human form. And he started to show everybody who God is, who the Father is, and pointing the way that through him, through believing in him, that you can have a relationship with God as a Father. And he started revealing that. And he started to say, you know, God wants you to be part of his family. And I think what is so cool about this is God's pursuing us, because he says, I want you to be my son. I want you to be my daughter. I don't want you just to be some outsider or a church member. Church membership doesn't mean anything to God. It's about being part of his house, part of his family, a son or daughter. And he says, I want to do this. And Jesus kind of pulls his disciples together and kind of towards the end of his life. And he wants them to understand what he's building. He's building something greater than just me and you. Yes, he's building you. But he's building his house, his church, to reveal the glory of God to this world. And he brings his disciples together in Matthew chapter 16. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to Matthew and then to Ephesians. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And this is a question that the church has to answer. You have to answer. Who do you say that the Son of Man is? There's rumors in our culture. There's rumors in their cultures. And his disciples start to say, some of them say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Still others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? Who do you say that I am? For you, you have to be able to answer this question. It's one of the key cornerstones of our faith. And then you have this bold guy, Simon Peter, standing up. You are Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus replies to him. He says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. Now, Jesus is trying to teach something in that moment. God reveals himself to you personally. You did nothing. It wasn't your neighbor. It wasn't a pastor. It wasn't a radio station that you happened to turn to. It was all God revealing himself to you. He wants you to know that Jesus Christ is the Savior. He wants you to know that in him there is redemption. And he says, and I'm the one who's been passionately pursuing you. I've been trying to win you back since the fall in the garden. I've been trying to woo you. I've been trying to show you who I am. And then Jesus says, here's how he's doing it through me. But then he starts to introduce us to how God's going to do this plan. He's going to build the church. And the church becomes the mechanism that God uses to reveal who he is. God still is touching the hearts. God's still moving. God's still drawing. But for some reason, God rests his glory on the church. A church that's actually being the church of God. And then all of a sudden, things start happening. And then you see what it goes next in verse 17. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it or prevail against it. Did you see something about the family in there? That we have a father in heaven. Right now our culture is attacking fathers. Our culture is, and when I say our culture, that's Satan. He wants to break down the image of a father So that way you don't get this image of God as a perfect father. Because when I say God as a father for some of you, you're like going, ew, I don't want him to be my father because I didn't like my father. My father treated me this way. He did this and he did that. And sometimes you hear God as father and you kind of get pushed out back. Well, let me just tell you that God is the perfect father. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. And he always has your best in mind. And he says, as soon as you said, I believe in Jesus Christ, if you've done that, he says, you are my son, you are my daughter, you are part of my family, you're part of my house. And then he says, now that you're part of my house, I want you to understand, I'm going to build something through you, but you can't do it alone. You can't just walk in your Christian faith alone. It doesn't work. He says, you have to tie yourself and link yourself to his body, his church. And you have to be dedicated to his church and what he's doing in the church because you can't do it on your own. And it's only when you and I gather as the body and as the church that God can really, really reveal himself. And he wants to do that. But you and I have to be ready for it. We have to be willing to surrender. We have to be willing to say, I want to be part of the church. I don't want to just come here on a Sunday and go through the motions of a service. I don't want to just come here on Christmas and Easter. But I want to really invest. I want to love people. I want to care for people. I want to help people in their times of need. That's what he's talking about, this kind of church. He says, I'm building this, and I've empowered my church. And he said, it said in Scripture, it says that Hades, which is hell, will not overcome it or prevail against it. Now, you and I got to get our mind changes here. We think church is this right here. That we kind of gather together in our holy huddles, sing kumbaya, say some prayers, read scripture, right? That's not the church. The church, in this verse, tells us it's a church that we come together, we bear one another's burdens, we love each other, we care for each other, we get real with each other, we get honest with each other, and we embrace each other. When somebody's sinning, we don't condemn them, we love them, and we walk with them. He says, you do that, and guess what's going to happen? You're going to be a church that's not just sitting here. You're going to be a church that's actually breaking down the gates of hell. That's what that scripture means, is that we're not a church that's supposed to be just sitting here, but going out and breaking down and pushing back the gates of hell. And just let me just say this honestly, the church is not doing that in the world. The church is idle, stagnant, going through motions, self-centered, self-focused. This is an entertainment society. This is an event on Sunday mornings. It can't be. God says it's not about an event. It's not about a membership. It's about the glory of God. It's about us coming in here, getting filled up with God's Spirit, and then going out and breaking down the gates of hell. And he said, here's what I'm going to build it on. Now, a lot of people get this confused because they hear Peter and the rock. He says, on this rock, well, he's actually referring to what Peter said. Peter said, on this, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, this is what I'm going to build the church on. That Christ is the Son of the living God. He's not just a human. He is not just a prophet. He is not just a great person who had lived a moral life. He is the living God who is the Savior of the world. He says, I'm going to build it. And when the church starts to focus in on that, all of a sudden the church starts to move and break down the gates of hell. And he's equipped us and he's empowered us to do this. Look what it says in the next verse. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loosen on earth will be loosened in heaven. So in other words, we have all power and authority to go out and do this, but we got to embrace it. We got to come here ready to experience the living God. We have to be ready to experience the glory of God coming down and not be afraid of the movement of the Holy Spirit, because we don't talk about the Holy Spirit enough. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is the one who changes you. The Holy Spirit is the one who drew you into a relationship. The Holy Spirit is the one who is our counselor. He is our guide. He is the one who gives us life. He is the one that raises the dead. He is the one that restores. And God says, I've given you. Embrace him. Be empowered by him. Go out and change the world. That's what he wants from us as the church. He doesn't want us to have memberships. I mean, I could care less about membership. I know we do membership. But he doesn't care about members. You know what he cares about? people that are part of his family, people that have surrendered their lives and are fully, fully serving him and embracing what he's done and showing other people in the world that Jesus Christ is the Savior. And Paul says it just a little bit different in Ephesians chapter 3. And again, keep in mind that we're a house and we're a family that God is building together. You can't do Christianity on your own. It's not a solo act. It doesn't work. It's only when we join his house, his church, and become part of the family and embrace the family that all of a sudden God makes us into the men and the women that he's wanted us to always be. And he does it through the church. So if you're trying to do it alone, stop. It'll never happen. So Paul says, he goes, for this reason, this is chapter 3, verses 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. And see the Father here? We're family. It's a lot more than the walls of the church. We're brothers and sisters in Christ because of what Christ has done. That makes it easier for us, right? Because you don't have to remember everybody's name. You just walk up to him and say, hey, brother. Hey, sister. It's a little bit easier for us. But he's saying that you're a family, and he's the Father. And then he goes in verse 15. From whom, that's the Father, his whole family in heaven and on earth has derived its name. I mean, you and I have derived our name as the children of God, as a son or daughter of God from him. It's all from him. It's all about what he's doing. He's got the plan, and he's got the purpose, and he's going to do it. Nothing's going to stop it. But he says, I want you to join it. And then he goes on in verse 16. He says, and I pray that out of his glorious riches that you may be strengthened, that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. God says, I'm the Father who wants to empower you, that has placed a Spirit within your inner being. So that way you can become part of his family. So that way you can come in and blow the walls off the church and get out of here and start sharing the gospel message to strengthen you in all the things that you're doing for him. And he says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And this is another cornerstone of our faith that we kind of gloss over. The only way that you get into a relationship with Jesus Christ is by faith and faith alone. It's by the grace of God that any of you have heard of Jesus Christ, or that you've even been able to accept it. And here it just says that it's faith, that all of us have become children of God by faith. Faith in the work of Christ on the cross. Faith in the work that his blood covers our sin. Faith that he rose from the dead. And now he's seated at the right hand of the cross. It's all about faith. And then he says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together, and get this, the power together with what? All the saints. You see, Christianity is not an individual thing. It's about the body becoming the body of Christ. Us passionately pursuing our Savior. Us passionately getting into God's Word. Us passionately loving one another. Us joining together to get outside the walls and serving people and showing the love of Christ. He said it's when the saints do this and they're gathered together, he prays that they would grasp how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love. To know this love. You know one thing, common theme I kept hearing from the teens this week? They wanted to know that the love of God is real. You know, church, it's only when you and I are the church that these kids will experience it. Because that's how we know. Because all of a sudden we see one another loving one another, bearing with one another, doing things. When somebody's less fortunate, maybe they go through a financial crisis, and all of a sudden, instead of condemning them and saying, oh, they mishandled their money, that we come alongside them and help them out. You see somebody that's got an alcohol addiction or they're struggling with relationships. You don't condemn them. You come alongside them. You embrace them. You love them. And all of a sudden it becomes real. And the love of God all of a sudden starts to flow out and people go, you know what? God is still alive. And God is still moving. And then the scripture continues on. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I mean, it's when we're a family. that will be filled to the full measure of God. You know that? It's only when this church decides that all of us want to embrace one another. You reach across the aisle, you invite people over to your home, you start to have friendships. You can join in community groups and you start sharing what is going on in your life with one another. The fullness of God will come in. But if we just do life individually, come here, gather, walk off, do our own things, we're never going to see the fullness of God and what he has to offer for us. Then he goes on and he says, now, this is the benediction of this, which most people know. Now to him which is the Father, is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or can imagine. Isn't that exciting? More than you can ask for, God wants to do. More than you can imagine, God wants to do. You need a new foundation because you kind of got off and you started adding things into your foundation and it's kind of falling apart, it's crumbling because you started to get into drugs and alcohol, or you started to look at pornography, or you started to look at something that you shouldn't have looked at and the foundation's off. Guess what? You can ask God for a new foundation and he'll do it. You have a broken relationship. Guess what? God can restore the relationship if both people surrender their hearts and start to love one another again. God says, I want to do this, and it's immeasurably more than you could ask or imagine. I can actually change your life. I can make you into the person, but you got to surrender it. And you got to be part of the body of Christ. Not individual, but part of it. And then it goes on, he says, to him, which is God, be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. In other words, God says, my church is going to prevail. Right now, the church is under persecution. It is. Open your eyes. It's time that we gather together as the one another's, and we pray, we embrace each other, we care for one another, and we start showing the love of Christ to one another. Because the church is going to be changing. It's going to happen. When? I don't know. But we have to start being in the church now because we need to reach the lost yet. We need to have hearts healed in here. We need to have relationships restored in here. Now, not later. Because it's coming. The church is changing, but it's going to prevail. So it's going to happen. And then it goes on and he kind of takes it back into Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. He says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Can you see how we're a family? And in families, you're going to have disturbances. And you're always going to have that weird uncle. You're going to have disagreements with one another. But he says, you're part of the household of God's, so make sure that you're doing relationships right. Make sure that you really are loving people. Make sure that you don't just say, hey, how you doing? And then walk away. But you go, no, how are you doing? Tell me what's going on in your life right now. Because I can tell you, there's a lot of people that have a lot of stuff going on and they feel alone right now. And God says, we're the body. We're part of the household. This is supposed to be a home where we feel the warmth and we feel the love. And then he goes on. He says that we're God's people, members of God's household. And I like this. It says built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And why would he say that? Well, the Old Testament, they didn't have the Word of God. You know, they had them on a scroll. A lot of the teachings were passed on down from generation to generation verbally. And he says those guys were pointing to what God was going to do, that Jesus Christ was going to come into the world, die for the sins of the world, and he was going to establish and build the church. And he's going to use the church for his glory. And then it goes on. He says, the foundation of the apostles and the prophets with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. You know what that simply just means? You can't do it alone. You need the church. We need one another. That's simply what that means. God says, I want to be your father and I want you to be my children, but you're one family. start embracing each other. Start it now, not later, because later may be too late. The church is going to change, and I'm just telling you what I got to see this week with being with these young kids. I can't tell you how amazing they are. I know I say that. God is going to do something through these kids. I can guarantee you this. They have a hunger and a thirst to know God. They want to see the Holy Spirit changing lives, their friends' lives. To see most of them saying, I want to experience God's love, and that's a generic way I'm saying it. I want to experience the truth of that's in the Word. They want this. They hunger for it. I mean, I challenged you guys to get into Proverbs. And I know, how are you guys doing? One chapter a day. Doing okay? 31 chapters. You're almost done. You know, we were sitting around the fire. Matt Slob opened up his Bible. He said, I'm a little bit behind, but I'm reading. He opened up his Bible, and you know what happened? As he read the verse that touched his heart, God opened up a 40-minute conversation about sex, drugs, relationships, you name it. And I got to watch those kids just hearing the wisdom of God's word. And they're hungry. They wanted to see what God has to offer. Then the next day, you know what they said? Hey, let's read another chapter. In other words, we're sitting by the fire. We got up to Pioneer Park, and they weren't happy with one chapter at the campfire this one time, so they read two chapters. You see, these kids are starting to get something, that God wants us to experience his love, and it's within the body. It's within a family. And when we got to wash their feet sitting down, I don't know, maybe you guys, maybe I missed it, but I don't know, there was something special. God was there. God was healing you guys through the power of his Spirit, touching your heart. And I know he's going to change this church because of you guys. You guys are going to make this church into something very unique because of the hearts that are here. It's time, church, that you and I, as the old adults, begin to have that innocent childlike hearts and minds where we embrace the Word of God and we say we have a hunger and a thirst to know him more. We want to see the Spirit of God moving and we want to be part of the body. We want a family, not just a church, not just a structure where we're just doing a service. Those things don't matter. God wants to do something. Somebody asked me if I was afraid of all the changes that was happening in the church, how I'm doing. I can just tell you this. I don't worry about it. God is moving. I don't know what God is going to do next, but I know it's going to be a change in this body. And it's going to be a change for the good. Breaking down the stereotypes, breaking down the way that we do things, changing the structures up. He's getting ready to move his Spirit into the body of Christ. And this is what I know he wants to do. He wants to heal the brokenhearted. He wants to heal the relationships that have been broken for years. He wants to bring new life to you. He wants to forgive you of your past. You experience his love. You experience his mercy and the fullness of his grace. And then he's going to say, after you've done that, after you've healed, I'm going to send you out and you're going to bring people back here because the Spirit of God and the glory of God is here. He says, that's what I want you to do. This is what I want to do here at Gaines Church. And it's going to start with these guys. Don't be afraid. Because God wants to make us into the family of Christ. Brothers and sisters functioning, revealing the glory of God to the world. Isn't that exciting? Why would God choose the church to do that? I have no clue. Other than he says, I've empowered you to do it. So go break down the gates of hell. So will you become part of the church? Not just a sideline, but where you're fully serving, you're fully using your gifts, you're praying for one another, you see somebody hurting, you actually put your arm around them and you love one another. Well, you do that. That's what God is calling us to do. He says, I'm building this. And it's always been his desire to see you and I in great relationships, caring and loving, showing mercy, and then going out to the world showing that love. And these kids did it, and you guys are going to hear about it next week because it was amazing what they did. So don't stop praying for these guys. Don't stop praying for this church, because God is getting ready to shake the church up a little bit. And I'm not talking weird, okay? I am talking about what he said in Scripture. I can do more than you can imagine. Immeasurably more. He wants to heal us. He wants to restore us. He wants us to experience his love. He wants us to know that he accepts us with all of our sin and all of our baggage. He wants us to know that we are perfect and righteous because of Christ. He wants us to know that you don't have to prove anything to him but surrender. That's it. So will you be part of his church? Because the glory of God wants to be revealed. Join me in prayer. Mighty Heavenly Father, I just come to you this morning, and first I confess. I confess that sometimes, Lord, we have just went through the motions. We have just done the ordinary and haven't expected the extraordinary. We've created moments where we just follow religious paths and systems instead of following you. God, we know you want to do something, and I know what it is. It's to reveal your Son to more people. It's to reveal the power of your Scripture, the healing, the restoration. And God, I would just ask that you would forgive the church for forgetting that you are building it and not us. God, take this church and craft it the exact way you want so that your glory can reside here with all full of authority, where we can see the lost coming to Christ, the broken healed, the lonely filled, and your mercy just raining on us. We thank you for being so gracious to us. Amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.